Welcome to the official podcast of the Milwaukee Brewers. This is Brewers on Tap.
Here's the pitch. A curveball! Drilled the deep left. Gonna get way, way, way out of here and gone for dear. And they have tied it at four. Wow!
Now it's time to tap the keg with Lane Grindle.
Hello and welcome to Brewers on Tap. This is episode number 70 of the podcast. I'm Lane Grindle, your host. It's great to have you with us. This is our final off-season edition of the podcast. Of course, we'll be joining you from Phoenix very soon as the Cactus League will get underway. Very early this year, of course, pitchers and catchers reporting in just a couple of weeks on February 14th. Well, Brewers on deck over the weekend, and we're going to get you caught up on a lot of the news and notes that came out of there. One that came out before Brewers on deck was the Brewers signing of right-handed pitcher Jabba Chamberlain to a minor league contract with an invite to Major League spring training. Chamberlain spent the first half of last season out of the American League champion Cleveland Indians bullpen. The former Yankee, Tiger, and Royal will look to try and get himself into the mix for the crew's remade bullpen this year. Chamberlain at one time was one of the top young arms in baseball, and he's looking to get back to that form at the age of 31. Some nuggets coming out of Brewers on Deck over the weekend, and one of the most newsworthy ones was in regard to second baseman Scooter Gennett. With Jonathan Villar looking like he'll spend most of his time at second base this year, Gennett may need to find some new ways into the lineup. And manager Craig Counsell believes we'll see the 27-year-old get a look in the outfield during spring training.
I definitely anticipate outfield. I mean, I think that's where he'll probably have to spend the most time working because it's the most difference. I see the corner outfield positions and then the corner infield positions. I mean, you try the most you can and kind of see where we're at. And without throwing, you know, completely too much at him. I think it makes spring a little different for him and a little exciting for him. And he's completely willing and up to the challenge of that. And it'll make him more valuable.
Gennett has played just one inning in the outfield during his career. He played in right field for an inning in 2014. The rest of his time has been at second base. Also at Brewers on Deck, I asked Zach Davies and Chase Anderson about adjusting to new catchers in 2017.
I think the biggest thing that DJ even stressed to us last year was communication between both pitchers and catchers. You got to get to know both ways. It's not just catchers trying to know the pitcher, but it's pitchers got to know the catchers too. So you guys got to get on the same page that way. Biggest thing, communicating with each other.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing. And then, you know, each pitcher is a little bit different on how they like to approach the game. And, you know, some guys need you to set up on the corner of the plate. Some catchers want you to set up a little farther off the plate. They have to really know who we are. We have to really know who they are. So they have a lot to learn, and we have a lot to learn about them. But from what I've seen, I'm excited to throw to those guys.
Of course, with Jonathan Lucroy and Martin Maldonado now both in the AL West, it will be newcomer Jet Bandy, Andrew Susek, who's relatively new to the organization himself, and Manny Pena spending the majority of the time behind the dish and working with the pitchers in 2017. I had a chance to catch up with a bunch of names and faces at Brewers on Deck, and it begins with a throwback.
Back in against Mesa, who is working from the windup. The 0-1 pitch. Swings, and there it is! A base hit in the right center! He's got it!
Now let's brew up the past.
Ah yes, as we brew up the past, the Brewers recently announced a big-time brewing of the past with a celebration for the 35th anniversary of the 1982 AL pennant-winning Brewers. The celebration will culminate the weekend of July 14th through the 16th at Miller Park during the Phillies series, and names like Robin Yount, Gorman Thomas, and Pete Vukovich have all pledged to be in attendance, along with Bud Selig and members of the Harvey Keene family. More details will be discussed as we move forward, but as the season continues, you can expect to hear more from prime players and moments during the 1982 championship season right here on this podcast. I had the chance to sit down with first baseman Cecil Cooper to catch up about
it. The pitch to Cooper. Base hit, left field, a liner. One run home. Downing throw coming on. Gantner's drive. He's safe. Wow! 4-3 Milwaukee.
Part of that 82 team, obviously, that is still so close to everybody's heart here in Milwaukee. In general, what did that season and that group of guys mean to you?
Well, it was a pretty magical season, first of all. And the guys, we all seemed to kind of grow together. And I can go back through the names of some of those guys, the Molitor and the Younts and Bandu who came over, and the Moneys and Augustines and Gantners and Charlie Moores and Gorman Thomas and Ben Ogilvy. We were together for a while, you know, and you kind of grow together, and you kind of, we not only partied on the field, off the field, but we did a lot of things together, and I think we grew together, and I think we also grew to kind of be the team from Milwaukee. The team, the city kind of took to us, and we took to the city.
Having a nickname, the Harvey's Wallbangers, obviously, it's just a cool thing, like, almost like a marketing thing that just makes it take off even that much more with that affinity between the fan base and yourselves. Who are some of the unsung heroes of that team? Because there's a lot of headline grabbers in that group.
No question, a lot of headline grabbers, but you could take people like Pete Ladd, who was a part of that, Don Sutton, who pitched late in the year for us, came over, was very, very instrumental in helping us. Marshall Edwards was an extra outfielder who helped us a lot. Don Money, you don't hear people talk about Don Money that much, but Don Money was a big part of that. You've got Dwight Bernard, who was a big part of that. So there were a lot of guys who maybe didn't be – they weren't the Younts and the Coopers and the Molitors and the Thomases, but they were still guys who pitched in and did their share.
Coming over from Boston, what was it like to go from that clubhouse to the Brewers clubhouse?
Well, there in Boston, I was not the what you call centerpiece. We had Fred Lynn, Jim Rice, Collier Skrimsky, Louis Aparicio, Louis Tien. We had some big name guys there. And coming over, I had a chance to kind of like grow with the team a little bit and then become a little bit more of the focal point along with Paul and Robin. And that kind of meant more to me, I think. And I think it helped me grow up a little bit as a player.
You were a member of the All-Star team in 82 and were able to go there with three other Brewers. So that had to be fun for all of you guys to be able to go together.
No question about it. I was thinking about that the other day when I saw that the Golden State Warriors are going to have like four guys on the All-Star team. I'm like, you know what? We had a whole bunch back then, too. We had the same thing. And it's a good feeling to know your buddy is going to be right there with you.
Game 5 ALCS, the hit, one of the most famous hits in Brewers history. How many times have you relived that in your mind since the day it happened?
I don't know. Just a lot of them. Almost every time I come to Wisconsin, somebody wants to talk about it. I go to fantasy camp. They want to talk about it. I get fan mail from different kids around the country sending letters wanting to talk about it. They want to ask me questions about it. It's just something that, you know, I think I'll forever be etched in my mind. I can kind of remember going through the sequence over and over and how fortunate I was to get a pitch to hit. Because, I mean, I had struggled early in the game, and then this guy really had me 1-2. And I was kind of on my heels a little bit, and to be able to still come through and get a base hit, and I'll never forget that.
What is it about this community that keeps you coming back and being a part of things like Brewers on Deck?
Well, the fans are just outstanding. I think they're the best fans in baseball, and I always tell that story about how I was born as a Red Sox, but I grew up as a Brewer. And that's because the fans took to me and made me feel like a part of the team, because they had a big star here, and I replaced him. And I always thought that that would be a negative for me, but it turned out to be a real positive for me. The fans really took to me, and not only me, but just to the entire team and the guys that we played together with.
Coop, we appreciate it.
Yes, sir. My pleasure.
Always good to get some time with Coop, and we thank him for being generous with his time at Brewers on Deck. The Brewers made a handful of moves over the offseason, and one of the biggest was acquiring third baseman, first baseman Travis Shaw from the Boston Red Sox. I got a chance to catch up with him in our clubhouse conversation.
Now for the clubhouse conversation.
You gain a lot of confidence when you come up and you have success quite quickly. So it gives you the mindset of I belong here and I can do it as long as I'm doing the things that I should be doing before and after starts.
The last couple of days I've been coming out of the bench in the 8th, 9th inning and you know, get just one at bat and just don't try too much, just put a good at bat.
Whenever I hunch over, the top of my helmet will look into the first base dugout. And it's hard to hit like that. And that's pretty much the only thing he's really noticed that I need to work on is stand tall in my upper body.
Travis Shaw is our guest here from Brewers on Deck as we continue with the Brewers on Tap podcast. A new third baseman for the Brewers this year. Came over in the Tyler Thornburg trade during the winter meetings. Was it surprising to you when the call came? And did it take you a second to recalibrate and then get yourself excited for the opportunity here in Milwaukee?
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time I've been traded. I think everybody says it's a shock at first, and it was to me. Took me kind of 48 hours to kind of just kind of take everything in, digest it, and then after doing some research, I realized it was a pretty good opportunity for me right now in my career, and really looking forward to this year.
Part of a team last year that won a ton of games, made it to the playoffs with the Red Sox. What did you learn through that experience, and what can you take from that and bring into this clubhouse that is fairly young? Obviously, you got veterans like Garza and Braun in this clubhouse, but for the most part, a very young clubhouse, and you were a part of a playoff push a year ago.
Yeah, I learned a lot from kind of the high-profile guys, the David Ortiz, Dustin Pedroias, Hanley Ramirez, those guys, and just what it takes to win every single day. And I went through a lot of ups and downs in the second half of the season, and going through those downs will help me later on in my career, especially this year, and just kind of learning the ins. Last year was the first year I've been in the big leagues, so first full year in the big leagues, I learned a lot, and it's going to benefit me moving forward.
Were you able to talk to Aaron Hill at all about his experience here after the deal was made?
Yeah, I actually called him the day I got traded, and he had nothing but good things to say about Milwaukee. He said, I like it, great place to hit, and he enjoyed his time here. So.
Left-handed hitter, you've had a lot of success, certainly a lot of power. How important was it for you that you're going to get a chance to see left-handed pitching here too, and you're not going to be in a situation where somebody tries to platoon you as much?
Yeah, that's big for me, and I don't consider myself a platoon player right now. I'm still early in my career. I feel like I'm an everyday player, and in 2015, when I got the opportunity to hit against lefties, I did a pretty good job, and last year, I mean, it's a win-now approach, so they put the best lineup out on the field every single day. And I struggled a little bit against lefties last year, but didn't really have consistent playing time against them. So looking forward to getting some more consistent playing time here, and hopefully that'll benefit me.
Your ability to play first base, too, could really benefit you, not just, you know, because you're in the National League now, too, so you just never know. Do you like playing first? I mean, I'm sure you probably prefer third, but you're fine playing first base, too?
I actually prefer first.
Really?
Yeah, I consider myself a first baseman that plays third base, and third base has helped my career. It's given me more opportunities, and the versatility is huge nowadays. And I can even be thrown out in the outfield if they need me to. Left field, I've played a couple games in left. But naturally, I would still say I'm a first baseman, and that's not say I'm very comfortable at third too. But first and third base are very, very comfortable for me.
Who are some of the guys as you've come up that have had a big influence on you that have stood out to you as guys that helped you mature as a baseball player to get to this point?
The guys that I've come up with, I mean, Mookie Betts, he was probably my closest friend with the Red Sox, and just his ascendance into the big leagues and his success that he's had it's motivated me, and I've been with him at every single level. And then getting to the big leagues, you have Dustin Pedroia, who's the best role model anybody could ask for. I mean, it's a guy making $100 million that plays like a rookie. And Dustin taught me a lot, how to bring it every single day, how to prepare, and that's something I'll never forget.
Are you excited about the National League? I mean, we just mentioned that there's some different opportunities in terms of where you might play, even within one game you might move around a little bit. Does that excite you?
Yeah, it does. And even days that you're not in the lineup, there's a pretty good chance you're going to play that day, whether it's a pinch hit or defensive substitution late. So it's going to be a lot different. It's going to take a little bit to get used to, I'm sure, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Guys seem to really love to play for Craig Counsell. Have you had a chance to spend hardly really any time? Have you talked to him on the phone a little bit since the deal?
Yeah, he was in Florida a couple weeks ago where I live, and we had lunch together, and his demeanor is just perfect. I mean, he seems like a player's manager. Just do your thing and you won't have an issue. And Aaron Hill had raved about him, so even Dustin Pedroia raved about him. He hadn't played for him, but he knows him, and everybody I've talked to loves Craig Counsell, so I'm looking forward to it.
This event probably is kind of a nice event for guys that are new, because you're getting a chance to meet some of the guys. Maybe you're familiar with some of them already, but this should help you maybe hit the ground running a little bit more at spring training. Have you gotten some of that out of this?
Yeah, it's you get comfortable with the guys, you kind of put some faces to get with names, and that'll help showing up in spring training. It won't all be new, and here in a couple weeks when I go out there, it'll be a little bit easier.
Travis, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Yep, thank you.
As you heard Shaw say, Brewers on Deck served as a nice way to start getting familiar with his other new teammates, something Eric Thames, another newcomer, echoed throughout the day at the event also.
Checking in on the farm.
MLB Pipeline top 100 prospects were released over the weekend, and the Brewers farm system is well represented. Five total prospects found their way onto the list, and that's among the best in Major League Baseball, as outfielder Lewis Brinson came in at number 18, outfielder Corey Ray at number 30, left-handed pitcher Josh Hader was at number 38, and a side note on Hader, he was also deemed the top left-handed pitching prospect in baseball and was given the best slider among tools to go along with that as well. Right-handed pitcher Luis Ortiz came in at number 62, and shortstop second baseman Eason Diaz came in at number 65. Another name that's almost certainly to be among the Brewers' top 30 prospects in 2017, when that list comes out, will be one of the newer prospects in the Brewers' system, in outfielder Ryan Cordell. And I got a chance to meet him for the first time at Brewers on Deck.
This was an interesting path to get to Milwaukee, obviously, for you in the Rangers system last year. And you were the player to be named later in the deal that sent Jonathan Lucroy and Jeremy Jeffress to Texas. What's it like to be in that role where, you know, you go through the rest of the year, you don't necessarily know that you're even a possibility to be that guy, and then the season ends and you get sent to Milwaukee?
Yeah, it was an interesting turn of events that all kind of happened once the trade deadline happened, because the next day I sprained my ankle, so I didn't play the rest of the year, and I think that had a little bit to do with, you know, when I was named, you know, the player to be named later. And so there were a lot of things going on, and, you know, I was just focused on trying to get healthy, so I wasn't even really thinking about that. And, you know, the last day of the season comes, and I get called in the office and told that I'm the player to be named later. And, you know, I should have seen some signs that that might be the case. But I didn't even really think about it. So it was a little bit of a shock at first, you know, but once, you know, I got a guy like Lewis who's been, you know, in the organization for a month at that point. So I, you know, I called him right away and just, you know, talked to him a little bit. And he had nothing but good things to say about the Brewers. And, you know, my dad's from this area. You know, so I have some family roots here in the Milwaukee area. So I was just excited for the opportunity, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Where was your dad from?
He's from Milton. He actually grew up in Chicago, and then in high school moved to Milton, and he still has a lot of family out in this area. So I came back my sophomore year of high school with him, and we took a trip out here and got to go to a Brewers game and see his hometown. So I had a little bit of a taste of Milwaukee, but it's been fun being here at Fan Fest and, you know, getting to be downtown, you know, hang out with some of the guys and meet some of the fans.
You just talked about maybe there were some signs. When there is a player to be named later, do guys talk about that stuff in the clubhouse? Or, I mean, the percentages aren't great that it's going to be you, so I can't imagine it dominates the conversation.
Yeah, you know, we don't talk about it a whole lot because you're just trying to focus on the day in and day out of playing ball. But, you know, it does come up here and there in conversations, especially towards the end of the year, just guys trying to speculate who it might be. And so, you know, of course, there was a little bit of that was going on. But, you know, I didn't even really didn't try and focus on that. Just tried to focus on getting healthy and doing what I had to do to be ready to play. So
one of the things that stood out to me when looking at your ascension to where you're at right now is it seems like the longer you're at a level, the better you seem to perform. Like once you make the adjustment, it seems like you really take off. What do you attribute that to?
I think just hard work. You know, I try and always put in the hard work and never be satisfied. And so there, you're going to go through those struggles when you, you know, move up levels. But if you take the right approach and don't get down on yourself, but just take the approach that, hey, I'm going to get there. Let's just try and get there as quick as I can and just kind of take that day in and day out focus. So that's just kind of what I try and do. And I think that's part of some of the success that I've had.
You played some infield, but primarily an outfielder. Is that where you see your future? And have you had those types of conversations with the organization?
You know, I really haven't even had those conversations. I haven't been told anything about playing the infield, but you know, who knows, if I show up to spring and that's something that they have in mind for me, then I'll just take on that challenge and, you know, whatever they need me to do, I'll be willing to do.
Was it exciting to you when you started looking at this organization and the youth and kind of what they're trying to do for the opportunity that was in front of you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's cool to be a part of an organization that's building and trying to get better. And, you know, you always want to be a part of something starting starting there, and so I'm really looking forward to the opportunity. Everybody I've met in the organization has been great to me so far, and I'm just really excited.
Ryan, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Great insight into his dad's roots being right here in Wisconsin. The Brewers also announced their MILB coaching staffs in 2017, and they look relatively similar to what they were like in 2016. Rick Sweet will once again manage Colorado Springs, Mike Guerrero in Biloxi, Joe Arault with the Carolina Mudcats, Matt Erickson is in Wisconsin with the Timber Rattlers, Nestor Corridor in Helena. One change in roving hitting instructor, that's Kenny Graham now is going to be manning that position as he takes over for Jeremy Reed, who was in that spot a year ago.
Here's what's on tap.
Plenty of stuff coming up in 2017, and most of you don't know what you're going to do next weekend yet, so much less do you know what you're going to do 6 months from now. But the Brewers have created the all-new Flex 10-Pack. Not only does it let you customize your ticket plan by selecting the 10 games you want to see, it also gives you the flexibility to pick up those games at any time over the course of the season. So if you want to lock in all 10 games up front, you can do that. Or if you want to wait, choose your games during the year, even up to the day of the game, you can also do that too. Or you can do a combo of the two and pick some now and maybe some a little bit later on. Very flexible. It's all about you when you're picking out of your Flex 10-Pack. Plus, you'll enjoy all the awesome benefits of being a Brewers 10-pack holder. It includes seating priority, a dedicated account executive, and, of course, opening day as your free 11th game. That might be the best part about it of all. Plans start at just $16 per ticket. For details, call 414-902-HITS. That's 414-902-4487. Or visit brewers.com/10-packs. And we also very excited about the news that came out yesterday, and that's the theme nights that will go on sale here now. You wanted more theme nights, and you're going to get more theme nights. A Vengeance, back with a Vengeance this year for theme nights. It includes superheroes, Jedi, Grateful Dead, Charlie Brown. Here's a couple of the dates and what you're going to want to look forward to. April 22nd, Beatles Tribute Night, post-game laser show plus a Beatles t-shirt. May 13th, Star Wars Day. June 3rd, Marvel Superheroes Day, presented by Quick Trip, Iron Man Bobblehead. How about that? June 6th, Bark at the Park. June 16th, Peanuts Night. June 17th, Faith Night. Postgame concert by Mercy Me that night. August 2nd, Hello Kitty Night. August 9th, Grateful Dead Tribute Night. And September 2nd will be Coaches versus Cancer Night. Craig Council, Purple Sneakers. Mini bobblehead. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be some fun nights at the ballpark in 2017. And those are just the highlights. Go to brewers.com/theme nights to see the complete list of all the 2017 Brewers theme nights. They go on sale this Friday, February 3rd, and are available at brewers.com/theme nights. Well, that is going to do it for me and this week's edition of Brewers on Tap. Thanks for stopping by and hanging out with us over the last 25 minutes or so. My thanks to our guests on the program here today, Cecil Cooper, Travis Shaw, and Ryan Cordell. We'll talk to you from spring training in just a couple of weeks, everyone. Have a good one.